It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is Mark Husson, and this is the Mark Husson Show coming to you live November 20th at just about 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. How are you? Yep, you heard it right earlier in your life, I'm sure, this week, that this is Thanksgiving week. So we have Thanksgiving week. What? Yeah. It's crazy. I love it. I love this. I'm watching snow fall where I live and in Colorado, and it's just beautiful. Yes, I'm a big fan. I didn't ever think I would be, but I think I'm a big fan because it quiets everything, including my little brain. So if you're new to the show, I hope you'll run over to 12radio.com and click the chat link. Because there is where you'll find a lovely group of people waiting to say hi, hopefully. You'll see the banner at the top of the page. You have to scroll down a little to see it. Of course, I'm going to be a little sluggish today with the weather and all, but you come down. I'm still actually looking for it. There we go. I got you. There we are. And if you come down and you find the banner that says the Mark Husson Astrology Hour, you'll see Lynn in the house. Hi, Lynn. Thank you so much for the hugs. A week of gratitude. Amen. It is a week of gratitude. I'm certainly grateful for you. Thank you. Jackie Walsh. Ditto all that sentiment. Thank you. It's a Markalicious Monday morning. Thanks to the entire 1-2 family for giving so much of yourselves. Raven's in the house. Hi, Raven. Good to have you here. You know, you guys, it is gratitude week. So it gives me an opportunity to also invite you and encourage you to run over to the gratitude board on 12listen.com. It's the fully anonymous. I mean, there's no strings attached whatsoever. You just go to 12listen.com. On the left-hand side, go underneath the advisors that you see listed there, and you'll see a thing that says the gratitude board, and there's scrolling messages. And all you do is put it automatically fills it in as anonymous. You're welcome to put your name. You don't need to, though. There's no tracking of your IP address. There's nothing like that. You just go, let us know what you're grateful for. And the gratitude is this thing where you can also be grateful for something that hasn't happened yet. It's sort of like a trick to get your mind in a trusting zone that your life works. And it also puts it out there as what you're hoping to see and what you already know you'll be granted, not because something outside of you grants it because you're a good person. It's because we know that the law of attraction will be that if you believe it, it'll come. And so putting it down as if it's already happened is kind of a nice way to get your mind in alignment with what your life is doing. So welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is an important day because there's always a lot important. We have the Sagittarian birthday coming up, which means that the sun will enter the sign of Sagittarius here very soon. Like, I think it's Wednesday about 6 a.m. I put the chart in the email, which I hope you'll join, 12house.com. Just go get on the emails there. I send pretty postcards, about 3 a week. You can delete them, but, you're being a part of it means a lot to us. So it's nice to see your camaraderie around that. But this Wednesday, at about 6:03 a.m. Pacific time, the sun in the sky will enter Sagittarius. And when it does, we're leaving Scorpio. So a couple things about that. If you haven't said happy birthday to a Scorpio that you know and love, go do it. They won't forget. No, they will forget. They're very tender. And it is a special day for a dear friend of mine, Ethne. I have to give a very big love hug to her because it is her birthday today, and she is dealing with a lot of surprises today. Let me just put it that way. And I'm really proud of her for what she's doing, but she's somebody that I just have known for 100 years. Her heart of gold. I love her so much, and I want to make sure that she knows that she, you know, has people out here that just send her the best and the brightest love. So, I also, let's see, there's a lot of you in the room had just celebrated birthdays that I also wanted to make sure that you know you're loved. I'm actually reading a couple of messages now of people who are saying it's their birthday. So happy birthday to all of you. And also, let's see here. I want to talk a little bit about what it means to be a Sagittarius and what it means for Sag to go into your life. Now, right now, it's a Pisces moon. The moon entered Pisces about 6:30, just about a half hour ago, right? 7:30 my time. It's about an hour and a half ago. The time change thing. We put all the times in Pacific time zone. So Pisces, it went into Pisces is about 6:29 in the morning, Pacific. And Pisces sort of waters us out a little bit. Like we leave the sort of big mental energy of Aquarius, and we come and enter into this sort of softer, more open world. Music means a lot more here. Our kindness means a lot more here. The people that we're connected to mean a lot more to us. Like we feel the connections and the ties with everything. And we'll be in this space for a couple of days. In fact, when the moon goes into Aries, it will also be that right before the sun goes into Sag. So we're going to be seeing a big shift. And I want to talk to you about that shift because it's really important. If you are a Sag, if you have a Sag moon or Sag rising, or if you know a Sag, this is particularly going to tend to you. But this Sag sign-changing thing that's happening on Wednesday is a big event for everybody because it's like a weather pattern. Like the sun will be in Sagittarius and it's showering all of us with this Sag energy. It will enter our charts in a particular Sagittarian house. And in that house will be a light, an illumination. And so it's very important that we track some of that stuff because Sagittarian energy is very intriguing. It's the end of a season. Sagittarius sort of signals that, hey, fall is kind of coming to a close. You have 30 days to wrap things up. And it's right before Capricorn. So we know, think of this. We're coming out of Scorpio, which is going as dark and as deep as we want to go. And we're coming up the other end. We're kind of getting reborn. And we're now this centaur. We're now this half horse, half human who's looking at the sky. Like the Orion's belt is the part of the Sagittarian constellation. It's the arrows pointing up and high and away, and it's like the complete opposite of Scorpio, who, if they had an arrow, which they do have a tail, it points down. And it wants to go underneath everything. So if you're now digging through the very end of Scorpio, you're probably tired of it by now. You're probably tired of some of the stuff you were forced to face, let's say it that way. Some of the stuff you wanted to confront, some of the secrets that you've uncovered, some of the things you hold, some of the judgments that you've held, right? Because if you have been alive during this time period, I would imagine there's a lot of judgments you're holding on yourself because that's what Scorpio does. It has to do that to survive. It has to make a decision, and it usually makes a decision, an adamant decision, and it usually verifies that decision. So the worst part of Scorpio, for example, would be that we make a decision and then we use the rest of everything else, all other experiences that will correlate with that experience, that will prove that experience, that will validate that experience, right? And we ignore anything else that sort of like says differently. Now that's a very also Aquarian thing to do. It's, believe it or not, it's a Leo thing to do, and it's a Taurus thing to do because the fixed signs tend to grab onto something and not let it go because their reality is the one that they're holding dear to. It's a very unconscious thing. And guess what? You have it in you. I have it in me. We all have it because we have Scorpio in the chart. We have Aquarius in the chart. We have Taurus in the chart. But particularly during the Scorpio time, it's pointing to the house that you're doing that. It's pointing to the area of awareness that this is happening in a really intense way. And so a lot of you were tired of the digging. A lot of you are tired of the resentment. A lot of you were tired of the feeling judgy on yourselves, right? Because that's what Scorpio can do. It can hold a judgment. And if you've decided that you're not okay, if you decided that what you're doing in the world or where who you are as a person is somehow not okay, then guess what? You've projected all your goodness on the world around you. So you're saying I'm not okay, but it's based on what you're looking at in front of you. They do it so much better than me. They seem so much happier than me. They have so much more money than me. They're so smarter than me. They're so thinner than I am, right? They just do it right. That's projecting. That is taking every good of you and seeing it in the world around you. It's the heart. It's the heart of depression. Conversely, if you're all that and the world's full of shit and you see it around you and you see the junk and you see the same thing. You've projected what you consider to be your darker parts and you've put it on the world around you. It's all projection. And the minute you can bring your observer up to see what part of the line you stand on with that, where you exist in that projection world, where are you? Are you projecting the evil around you? Is it just partial? Who's the darkest thing that you have out in front of you? What's the darkest issue? What's the darkest religion? That kind of thing. What and all of it is where you've drawn a line and you've assimilated a reality. Now, that's a fine way to live. It's okay. You can do that. It's really okay because there is no right way to live. We do the best we can to survive. We do the best we can to feel safe. We do the best we can. But when the observer is on, a little bit, not a lot, you don't have to be like super aware. When the observer is on and can see the fear that's going on, can see a little bit of the, that you are doing some projecting or that you are kind of like making a bunch of things good out in front of you and you bad or vice versa, that is the opportunity for you to see and to truly work to have an experience of yourself that is unlike any other. And I'm not saying I've done that. I'm not saying that it's easy. What I'm saying is that all the things that we do in life, including the things we do to avoid being depressed, can basically be handled with some awareness and some bravery. Now, that brings me to Sagittarius. I want to talk to you about that. So, first of all, I'm not saying do anything. I'm saying this is a cycle where we look more seriously at what's going on around us. We look more seriously at where we stand in relationship to everything else, okay? And I'm taking a look at the chart, too, while I'm talking to you, today's chart. And you, if you see that chart, if you got a chance to get it in the email that I sent out, you'll see that Mars at the 9 o'clock position is just 2 degrees away from the sun this Wednesday. And Mars is this planet of assertion, planet of aggression, planet of war, planet of seduction. And it's in Scorpio and it's near the very end of Scorpio. This is why we've had this push so hard over the past few days is in the Scorpio realm of going underneath and really having to fight for something and really feeling that we've had to hold a ground for something. And some of you went into the other side of depression and some of you went into the other side of the other side of that, which is complete optimism and freedom and sort of bouncing around. That's Mars. And fear is the heart of this. Okay. So just pay attention to some of the various emotions. Now, what's evolving right now is this sort of like creation change from the going down to the base of the Hades, let's say, transforming and then rising again as Sagittarius in a ball of fire. The thing about Sagittarius that I want you to understand is the myth is about Chiron. I've talked a lot about Chiron, the half horse, half man. There's a lot of half immortal too. What's interesting is in all the circumstances of the myth of how Chiron got created, it's about deceit. Like Zeus knew that this individual, Chiron's dad, had an attraction to Hera. So he forms a cloud and looks like Hera. And then it really isn't a cloud. It's really a horse. And the guy makes love to it. So they have a half baby. And then Zeus's dad, there's a myth where Zeus's dad, Cronos, was caught by his wife. And he turned himself into a stallion right before the lovemaking was complete. So she gives birth to half horse, half man, you know, however they get to the half horse, half man part. Chiron was the healer born from a deceit. Okay. Born in both stories, he's born out of deceit, which many of the Greek and Roman myths children were. And so he becomes very learned. He becomes very much a healer. And some of the metaphor around being a Sagittarius, and this is where it applies to you, Sag moons and Sag suns and Sag rising signs, and anybody that has Jupiter connected to any part of their personal chart, is that there was a wish, there was a promise made that didn't quite get fulfilled. It was the promise that there was, you know, we're going to make great love, but, you know, it was deceit, or the promise of you can be whole. You're half immortal, but yet you fell on a poison arrow, so you're stuck in a body. You could acquire your dreams, but there's always something in the way. And if you look at the Sag areas of your life, if you look at people you know that are Sagittarian, if you look at these Jupiterian people, and everybody, you know, we love to aggrandize every sign because every sign has its dark side, right? Every Sagittarian person that you know is bound by what we call the Hera curse. They're bound by something that won't allow them to fully achieve their dreams. It might be another person. It might be an illness. It might be a job. It might be an idea. It might be a depression. It could be anything that sort of like, I could have this. If only I could have it, if only this were true. And so what we see is this inherent sadness inside of Sagittarians, and how we deal with it, wherever Sag is in our chart, is where this concept of projection is very important. How you deal with the fact that you're limited, that there is a real world that you have to pay bills in. There's a real world that they will take your house away if you don't make your house payment. There's a real world that what happens if you lose your job? There's a real world of homelessness. There's a real world that requires you to step up to the plate, and you can't. Or you can, but it prevents you from being who you truly are. Because inside of us, wherever there's Sagittarius, we feel godlike. We feel immortal. And every Sag you know, every Sag you're going to meet, every Sag moon feels this utter disappointment. And yet they still chase it. We still go after it. But it's in the disappointment where the magic is. And that's the hard thing to figure out. It's in the recognizing that I'm mortal and I can bring my magic here that is so much more powerful than someday I'll be in heaven or the better part of me exists in this other place. And I don't care how successful you are as a Sagittarian. It doesn't matter. It's that you don't feel it all the time. You always feel like somebody could take it away. You always feel like there's some reason that you can't achieve what you want to achieve. There's always this inherent butthurt disappointment. And where you have Sag in your chart, that's where it lives. And that's not necessarily where you're depressed. Where you're depressed is we can see it as a function sometimes of Saturn and Saturn's effect on Venus in your chart. We can see it when Saturn makes these interplays with us in our lives. We can see where the disillusionment comes in. And what we do, and the Sag part of us, which this is the hard part about being a Sag, the Sag being fire says, if I just keep going, if I just keep pushing through, if I go shopping, if I get on the mountaintop and teach somebody else how to be more spiritual, I can have it. I can avoid this depression. I can have that thing I feel. If I get you inspired, see, and the difference between Sagittarian and its opposite Gemini is the element of fire. Gemini's air. Air just connects with anybody. And when a Gemini gets depressed, it's like they're both very sad when they get depressed, and they both get depressed. Gemini gets depressed, it's sort of like you lose them. They're internal. They lose connection with the world. When you see them not depressed, they're connecting with anything. They could talk to anybody. And sometimes if you've ever lived with a Gemini, which I have lived with many, it's they can talk to anybody. It's like my thing with Scorpio, with Pisces. I won't go to a Pisces person's parties because they love everybody. They see the good in everybody. That's not fun when you see the bad in everybody. But the Geminis will lift up by a connection and finally just distracting themselves. It doesn't matter. Sag needs the inspiration. They need to move you, which is why Sagittarians are so fun to be around. They want to inspire you. They like, let them teach. You know, if you got a depressed Sag on your hand, ask them, tell me about this. And they will. And they'll pop out of it. That you can feel the energy in them move. Of course, it'll drop again when they're done, but they definitely love to see the inspiration. They need the fire. And anytime you're a fire sign, or wherever you have fire in your chart, inspiration, spirit is involved. You need spirit, inspiration. And so one of the ways to counter the depression within Sagittarians is to seek some spirituality, to get hopeful about something, to look to Jupiter. What's Jupiter doing? But it's not always there for us. Jupiter isn't always available where we need it to be. And so we can find ourselves sinking into that sort of like hopeless pit of, I'm never going to get to heaven, quote unquote. I'm never going to get to that place that I believe I deserve. I'm never going to have the money I need. I'm always going to see people with money as happier, better, whatever, wherever your Sag is. I'm always going to see people with beauty as getting the advantages. I'm always going to see people with more smarts as getting the advantages, whatever it is. Whatever it is your mantra is about why you aren't good enough. Conversely, it's nobody's as smart as you. Nobody's as rich as you. Nobody's as good at this as you. You hear so many I've had Sagittarians work for me, and they were always like, often, I'm the only one that can do this. I am the only one that can do this. All of it, though, which one, you know, and neither one is a worse place to be. All of it covers up the inherent sense of disappointment that sits just under us. It's like when you're on an airplane and, you know, people who have severe fear of flying or severe dentists, like severe fears, you know. It's like that fear that they hold inside of life of being hurt at the dentist, for example, or dying. It's just the fear of life gets projected onto these things. So they're not really dealing with a fear of an airplane. They're dealing with this unconscious fear of their own death. The unconscious fear that they're unfulfilled, the unconscious fear that they won't exist anymore. And what the sign right before Sagittarius, Scorpio, is the one that helps us understand and confront those fears before we let go and fly. This one right now, this time right now, for the next 2 days, today, tomorrow, it ends on Wednesday, we have our chance to dig in and be comfortable looking at the fear right in the eye. I told you last week, I've told you week after week after week with all my Scorpio, I have killed in my head everyone I love, and it's awful. I've not murdered them. In my mind, I see their death. And it's heartbreaking. And I wake up and I see my own, and it's like, oh God, those moments, there's a preparation happening, not for death, there's a preparation for life happening. Because after that experience, what do I want to do? Let's have Thanksgiving. Let's get together. Let, you know, how are you feeling? Or I go get Javi or Duncan and I, how's my baby boys doing? And I just kiss and love on them. I do. I love on them way too much. I was fat shaming Duncan over the past couple of days because he's so cute and so chubby. And I'm like, we got to get you on a diet. My little boy. So cute. And he doesn't care, right? He doesn't care if he's on a diet. It's like, I just cut the treats smaller because I love giving them treats. They're so happy. We can do more, right? I can exercise them. I'll run them in the back. I'll do whatever. I need to do. But the point is that after an experience where you're losing, you're letting go, you're scared, you're losing people that you love, you think your life is ending, you think you're with somebody who might die, or you know someone that something, you know, there's a thing I watched, Ally McBeal. I used to love Ally McBeal, and then I went through a Hulu thing where I was going to watch every single episode, right? And there's a moment where she goes, you know, I had a friend who told me they wouldn't get a pet because they're afraid to watch them die. And it was the whole point of the movie. It was like, oh my God, life is so freaking sad sometimes. It's so tough to be here, right? And it's like, and somebody will say, well, just confront this or just do this or just hold it. It's so hard. And yet we're trying, we're doing our best. And that's why ultimately during this Scorpio time, you take a minute and appreciate the moment that you're still breathing, the moment that somebody you love is still with you, the moment that you know everything is going to become. See, this is the part of it. You know everything will be a memory someday. It's pretty amazing to have the experience and just be present with it, knowing that you're just dust in the wind and you're going to pass through. And no matter how mortal we feel, no matter what our beliefs are, what happens after we die, all that stuff isn't going to matter at that moment you take your last breath. It's not going to matter when your friend takes theirs. It might matter in the sense of they get less afraid to take that last breath, but it doesn't. We don't know after that. We don't, you know, they're gone or you're gone. So that's what Scorpio brings us to, that stark moment. And then there's a rebirth, a regeneration, a hope, a realization that we are in a mortal body, but we are also immortal. There could, you know, and that's all speculation, right? I mean, it's speculation, but it's okay to believe that. You can. What else? What isn't speculation? Speculation that my house isn't going to blow up here in a minute. It's speculation that everything, it's going to be here for a few years. So it's okay to then believe that you are both. You're an infinite particle of love, and you're a finite particle of matter. And this we have Sag. Born, like I told you, from an interesting deceit, born in a body that is the most unique that was ever seen, a centaur, half horse, right? Half stallion, half human. A warrior, a healer, a lover, who has a fate in the mythology of falling on a poison arrow, and they're half that can't die. So they're in pain all the time. And if you go through the Sagittarian myth, if you know Sagittarians, what you see is this desire, this love, this longing to know God, to be God, to know the part of you, like to get rid of the part that hurts, right? It's so much about getting rid of the part that hurts, the mortal part, and to live in that spirituality. And we do. The part of us that's Sagittarian lives in that reality of inspiration, of hope, of dreams, of reaching for the sky, and yet always being reminded that we're stuck in the half, other half, the other half. And being able to see that is the secret key to Sagittarius. Being able to see that you actually have a perception of being stuck, that you actually, in defending that perception of being stuck, that you project bad and good really powerfully, right? These people are bad and I'm good, or these people are so good and I'm really bad. It's just easy to do that. And if you see you're doing it, you don't have to stop doing it. That's the secret to everything about living, Observation is the key, not doing anything about the observation. Being aware. Awareness is everything. I'm going to take a peek in on you guys and see how you're doing, because when I get carried away, I might be missing a question or an act of love, because y'all are so good at that. And I'm coming in and I'm hitting refresh in the room. And thanks to Jay for putting up everything, the banners and taking care of business. Let's see what's going on here. I'm hitting some comments. And all right. So what I'm seeing, okay, no. Most recent. Oh, thank you. Yeah. God, Facebook is so tricky. Tara, welcome to the room. I see that snow. Thank you. That's exactly what it looks like out my window. I wish I could show you guys. Thank you, Terry. It's a great to have you be a part of the week. Nadine, good morning. Gratitude for 1-2 Radio. Gratitude for what I experienced here in so many ways. Gratitude to you, Nadine. Seriously, you're so sweet. Thank you so much. You guys are all so sweet. Lori Love's in the house. Hi, Lori. Good to see you. Alishea, good morning. You are unique. You are amazing. You are you, she put up there. Tiffany, greetings and Thanksgiving wishes to the 1-2 family. My friend reposted this creative bread, and I thought of you. Look at that. Oh, that is cute. It's a sourdough loaf that's cut in the shape of a turkey. I wish I'd have thought of that. Good job. Oh, my God, that's adorable. Denise, so grateful for you, Mark, and all of the wonderful family. Denise, back at you, girl. Thank you so much. December 3rd will be my Sagittarius celebration. Hope I make it. Oh, you're going to make it, of course. You better be there. Charlene, beautiful sunshine, beautiful day. Look at the difference in our experiences. That is beautiful. Patricia, it's been way more than a minute. Happy to be here today. Patricia, it's so good to have you. Thanks for taking time to get into the room. Laura, thank you. Geraldine's in the house. Love back at you. Chiron is conjunct Jupiter in Libra in my second house, says Gwen. Part of a T-square opposite Mercury in Aries. Square Saturn in Cancer. Sagittarius North Node. You know way too much. Chiron is conjunct Jupiter Libra in your second house. If you look up Chiron Jupiter conjunction, born with it, it's magic. What a lovely connection to have those two together. They're related, you know, because Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. Chiron is the symbol of Sagittarius. Having them together, powerful thing. Gwen, I hope it's proven to be powerful for you, particularly with regards to your value and your sense of value. Geraldine, my Mars natally is 27 degrees, 10th house. Yes, I agree. But I did have when I was younger, but there were some horror love stories. I was so successful at my jobs late in life, the best. But in the end, it was devastating when they closed. I'm so sorry, Geraldine, but that is how it goes. Like that Moon in Jupiter in Gemini sounds like my saving grace. It is your saving grace because you have a way to rewire that. But having them together close like that gives you an honorary Sag Moon, and that makes you so able to bring it in and understand. Geraldine said, will you be my therapist? No need, girl. You got this handled. That's the thing. My moon in Pisces also on the 22nd. Just kill me. Yes, again. Moon in Pisces. Oh, she said on the 22nd. That's so cute, Geraldine. I love it. Laurie, Venus is in Sag. Your Venus is in Sag. So let's see. Saturn just went into Pisces. So what we're coming to is... that Venus in Sag counts too for a lot of the wound and a lot of the hope and a lot of the adventure and a lot of the love and a lot of the disappointment. As Saturn moves into Pisces and hits that point, you get an opportunity to really bring awareness to how you want to love. Beautiful. Patricia was born in a Sag moon. You have a Sag moon. So you understand this. You understand how this works. Mark, thank you for the Sagittarian lesson. Making a lot of sense to me, says Catherine. I have Jupiter in Sag in the third. Ooh, nice to have Jupiter in Sag. And Neptune in Sag in the second. So struggle to ground sometimes and trust my own inner voice. Brilliant. This is so brilliant. Sometimes grounding is about just, again, the observer looking at, like, what am I not wanting to have my feet on the ground for? Because that's a big Sag thing. Why would I? If going back and being in the ground means having to deal with life in reality, I'd rather stay up here. And damn, that's not a bad choice. But just being aware that there might be fear involved, being aware that I don't want to stop because this is a little painful, could be the most life-changing thing we ever did, just to look. So this is really important. Now, I'm going to be on CA's show tomorrow, you guys. She's 9 a.m. Pacific. Oh, gosh. Yes, because I'm 8 a.m. She's 9 a.m. Pacific. I'm going to talk about Jupiter and Neptune. She's on vacation, so I'm going to do the show. Like, we're just going to have another chance to be together. So I hope you'll make a note of it an hour later tomorrow, right after Cat. That was my old stomping ground, 9 a.m. Tuesdays, right? And here we come back. So thank you guys for your receptivity and for your love. This is such a time to be gushy, right? It's Pisces moon. We got to love each other. I can't get over how beautiful it is out my window, and it's getting white. I got the boys out earlier, so it was not looking like it was going to snow, and then boom. So I'm a big fan, like I said, because this, I'm going to make bread today. I have been making bread. I've been getting really comfortable with it. I wouldn't say I'm really good at it. I mean, I'm not trying to be humble. I Jupiter and Virgo. I mean, is there ever going to be a loaf that I make that I'm going to be like, this is amazing? It just isn't going to happen. But see, that's observer. That's like me going, okay, I'm never going to feel comfortable with it. And people are very kind about complimenting it, and I give them as gifts. But I see, this bread's a little moist, or it didn't pop as much as I wanted it to. And I'll go, read a little more. And that's okay, because when I'm not trying to win an award. I'm trying to just get comfortable making sourdough bread. And it's been fun. It's been a year since I started my first starter, and I was boasting and putting up my first loaf on Instagram, which I don't do anymore. I do. I post on Instagram. I put my little pictures. I want to put family pictures up there. But I was thinking the other day, this is sort of like a Mars in Scorpio revelation for me, but I don't want my life on display in a neighborhood that is not protected or guarded. And that's the internet in general. I'm just like, I would love to share my love of my life, things like that. That kind of thing is nice. But opinions and judgments, I'm pretty much decided that's not the neighborhood I want to be in to express any of that. I had a good talk with a friend about it. Just saying, it's like if I were local and there was a protest going on that I believed in, I'd protest. And they said, what's the difference? And it was like, the difference is if anything bad happened, I could call the police. But on the internet, unguarded, it's sort of like, what happens then? Somebody doesn't like what I have to say, or somebody even doesn't like our little spiritual take of having a psychic hotline. I mean, it's not a safe place. And what am I changing by telling somebody my belief system? I'm a business person that wants to get my business promoted. I want to promote 1-2-listen.com. I love that. And I would love to share my opinions, but not to the world. Not to an unguarded world. I'd like to share my opinions with you. You all come over. We'll go to breakfast. We'll talk, get some ideas going. But, opinions are malleable. And what am I an expert at? I mean, nothing out there. I mean, I'm not good at it. I love astrology, and I wouldn't even consider myself an expert there, except that I've been doing it long enough that it's sort of the language kind of makes sense. It's like, yeah, learning a language. And I never learned the big words. Like, I didn't want to learn those big words. So that's just the thing. The other thing I wanted to tell you, I have a leash for the boys by Flexi, F-E-L-X-I. And this is definitely a shameless promotion, and I get nothing for it. But I want to tell you what happened. I love these extendable leashes, right? Because I can work them pretty well. And I get to, they get a chance to run and chase each other safely, like as long as I let them do that. So, but I was thinking, I wish that they would make one that was a different color. They have a yellow leash lead, and I wish they had an orange, right? So, I don't know, Venus and Gemini, I just see them online, I get their address, and I write them, right? I just sent an email. Said, I love your leashes so much, and I do. They're amazing. They're very well made. They're made in Germany. And I just wish you had an orange one so I could tell which dog was acting up and laughed, right? And I said, but thank you for making them. They're really good. Guess what? I get one in the mail, a brand new orange one. They're like $100. And she wrote and said, like, we just created this. And she's like, what's your address? And I went, oh my God, are you serious? So she sends it. And I wrote back and said, what can I do? How do I thank you? Not a word. And this is probably what they, you know, this is how what they have a customer for life. I mean, Flexi, F-E-L-F-L-E-X-I. So that's something that happened. And there was another thing I wanted to praise, and it won't come to me. It won't come to me, but it will. It will, by darn. So yeah, I wanted to tell you that kind of fun story. Like, that's sort of magical. And I just said, hey, I love your product. Because, and it was all, it's a internet related in the sense of it's kind of nice not to just have to be a letter of complaint, right? It's kind of nice to have it be like, you know, here's a sweet thing. I appreciate what you do. Thank you. I didn't ask for the leash. I swear I didn't. I just was like, I hope you guys will make an orange one. So, because it made sense to me, and dang, I get one. So anyway, good job to them. All right. So let me get back on track. I that was my public service to you. So I'm going to hit refresh one more time and come back. And then we're going to talk about the week ahead and see how you beautiful people are doing. Laura said, I knew you were going to bake bread today. You know, that's funny. And I believe you. Hey, Kay. Kay Dragon's in the house. Thank you, Kay, for being here. And it's so sweet. Kay is an incredible reader over at 12listen.com. You know, you all know I'm very blessed with good people. So that always makes me happy. I am, come here. I'm trying to just reload. It's taking a minute and never is fast. All right, hold on. There we go. And okay, so you're going to be really Chiron, Sun, Sag, Venus, Mercury, all my second house, checking my finances now. Yes, Chiron, the Sun and Sag, Venus, Mercury, all in your second. It means, Denise, too, it's very important to you too. Now, if you have Sag ruling that second house, like I do, money is like really kind of like when money's there, it's magical. Like I won't balance my checkbook. I'm serious. I won't. That's ridiculous to me because all that does is remind me how little I have. So I intuit it. Very rarely anything bounce, but I intuit it. Like I don't want, if I see something I love, I want to get it. I go get it. I worry about it later, but don't put the clamp on my head. I know it's silly, but I need to feel the magic of that. And if I do happen to feel like I have more money than I should, or there's a little more money than I thought, oh my God, bye. See ya. It's out. I ain't keeping it in there. What's the point? So, all right. Thank you. Jennifer's in the house. Jennifer, sorry. I'm glad I saw you. I didn't want to overlook you. And a shout out. Thank you for being here. Jupiter rules her chart. Look at that. Sag rising. Okay, I think I caught everybody. Okay, yes. And if I haven't, I'm sorry, you guys. I do bounce around a little bit. All right, so what do I need to tell you? This week, let's look real quick. Mars is going to be conjuncting the Sun on Wednesday as well. And it's going to be pretty darn close. And so we're going to have a fiery Mars in Sag. That means Thanksgiving could be hot, like hot-tempered. And so can do me a favor, have fun Thanksgiving. I don't care if you get into a fight. I don't care if you don't get into a fight. I don't care if you bite your lip. I don't care if you bite somebody else's lip. But if you're getting together with family, all I ask for you is sort of check in on yourself every now and then. How are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing? You feeling lonely? You feeling ostracized? You feeling connected? You feeling too special? Too much attention on you? Too little? You didn't cook better than anybody else? You cooked way better than everybody else? Whatever. Check in. See how you're doing. And then I want you to hear me out here reaching out and saying, good job. And hey, how you doing? I don't do family Thanksgivings anymore. I haven't in a long time. Because when you work retail, like I did for so long, those days are sacred. Because the day after Thanksgiving, you know, is going to be a madhouse, right? And so you have to sort of, like, the last thing you want to do is cook a meal or worry about, like, having to eat so much or whatever it is that you do on Thanksgiving. So those days have always been in my cell and John's too, these sacred days, like just ease, peace and quiet. And that's sort of like the cellular memory of that, because the next day's crazy, right? For the world, if you're in retail, but I'm not in retail anymore, just cellular memory. I do hope that this holiday season, for all of you, that as we get through it, we're going to go until right up until Christmas, and then we're going to take a 2-week break. But I'll be with you right before Christmas and right before New Year's, right after New Year's. We'll be back on the 8th. But I just want to extend, like, to make sure that you know that we'll be here and that we're connected and that One Two Listen is still going to go if you get into any binds. But I will definitely get us prepared for the couple of weeks coming up during the holidays and make sure you know where the planets are. You know, CA, she goes on vacation and she still does the power peak. she still sends me the stuff. God bless her. I mean, really. And so for, you know, she needed someone to host her show, and who would say no to that, number one? But number two, of course, anything I can do to support her, I would do. She's a Pisces, and what CA does is gives of herself completely to in her personal life. She never talks about it, but that woman gives to everybody, even if she doesn't like you. She gives that time and space and connection to her world. So special love to CA, because I just feel so blessed. She never misses a power peak. She's always polite. She's very on top of things. And, you know, when you hear about what goes on in her world, it's a lot to do. I couldn't do it. Honestly, I couldn't. So, yeah, props to her. Props to each of you. I do want this time to be about you realizing that every time, if you came to a room and nobody was here to talk, I would immediately tell myself, well, no one wants to listen. Why would they want to, you know, that kind of thing. And it's not that those of you listening who aren't in the room, there's a ton of you listening that aren't in the room, and I get that. And thank you so much for tuning in, because I also see that. But I just want you to get that coming to hear me, coming to talk, telling a friend, sharing this stuff, what would I be without that? Seriously. It would be like some fantasy, like not real, but you make it real. And if anything that you do that you ever question what you did this week, I want you to know that it made the difference here. Your presence, your consciousness, your kindness, you just being willing to exchange, keeping the love up. Oh my God. All those things are immeasurable, and they fill me up. They fill my heart up. They make me feel so happy to be with you. They make me look forward to Mondays. So I want you to feel my love, my thanks. Yeah, that's me getting a little choked up. But that is Pisces I'm blaming. But I do love you guys. I do appreciate so much what you've done. I mean, and you don't have to do this. I mean, and I know that. That's what makes it so beautiful. So very special love aiming back to you guys. I am going to sign off a little early today, just only because I've kind of hit the sort of like mental wall. It's 5 minutes to the end of the before I normally would sign off, but and I never got to think about the thing I wanted to tell you with the leashes. There was two great stories. I will remember them that happened about the leashes that were like somebody being generous like that. So thank you for your generosity. I won't even advise you to be generous because you already are, but be generous with yourself, your heart, where you are, what happens with the holiday. I'm back tomorrow. I've got a different topic tomorrow. I'm going to talk, I think, about Uranus and Jupiter tomorrow. We'll get into it. It will be in the thick of that Pisces moon, the very last day of Scorpio. So we'll have a lot to share. I hope you'll come visit. Don't feel obliged because you did it today, but it would be fine if you did. I'd love to see you again. So thank you so much. This is Mark Husson, and this is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Thank you. I hope you feel my love. Talk to you tomorrow.